So the same week, the governor and the controller announced an expected $2.3 billion revenue shortfall. Advocates for education, like my next guest, asked for more money for education during budget hearings. And my next guest is not apologizing for it. Andy Pallotta is the president of New York State United Teachers. It's good to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's Valentine's Day, Andy Pallotta. Are you feeling the love from the Gov?
I am always feeling love here at the Capitol. Nothing but love.
You know, a lot of people are scratching their heads, wondering how New York State United Teachers and other groups could call for an even larger increase in education aid when the state has a revenue shortfall. How do you respond?
How do we respond? Very, very clearly, the Regents put out their request for $2.1 billion. The Educational Conference Board put out their request for a $2.1 billion increase in education funding. And we stand with the education experts.
So why? Why do you need $2.1 billion in extra money?
Right. This is just to keep up with the cost, the increasing cost. And we feel that this is necessary in order to provide all the services that we do to the millions of students throughout the state.
Also, what I'm hearing is that the needs of students have been growing exponentially.
This is true.
Mental health needs.
Right. And I think it's pretty obvious that we need to meet those needs. And whatever the cost is, I think it's worth it.
I'm sure you're aware that the governor zeroed out funding for 90% of towns and villages, and that's after keeping AIM funding flat for 10 years. So municipalities are now starting to point at education, saying, what's going on? We keep getting nothing, and education keeps getting $1 billion more a year.
Well, there's a couple of things that are going on. I think most people in this state realize that education and educating our students is the future of this state. And if we truly want to have a fantastic, growing, wonderful economy, they are going to have to put that money into the schools.
So you don't want to say anything about the municipalities and their grievances?
Well, you know what? The municipalities also, we have a tax cap as they have a tax cap. But their tax cap is very easy to override, where a tax cap for a school district takes a supermajority, 60% of the vote has to be given to override a school budget.
You are not a fan of the tax cap, which already passed in one form of it, a more permanent form in the state Senate, not in the assembly. But you don't like that tax cap.
Yeah, I believe it's undemocratic. And anyone who believes that 60% supermajority is truly fair, I believe that they want a tax cap not to be breached. So we strongly oppose it. We also support something like a 2% tax cap or CPI, whichever is higher.
A real cap is right. What a lot of the advocates are calling it. And you're not alone in that.
It's good not to be alone.
The Senate has already passed a permanent tax cap, though. Members like Ed Chair Senator Shelley Mayer have said that they think the cap needs to be amended. The Assembly has not passed the cap. What kind of conversations have you had with them?
We are requesting that they really look at the cap and see what problems it has caused in the state, and also look at a place like California, which in the 1970s passed Prop 13. And right now, as we saw from the schools in Los Angeles, the teachers went on strike. There were all issues about funding. So it really didn't take care of the problems. It caused more problems.
So, yeah, you during your testimony, you said we should not repeat Californians' mistake. Instead, New York should replace the temporary cap with something that will actually work. So what changes would you just remove the cap? Should we just say goodbye to the cap?
Well, that would be our goal, is to say a locality should be able to choose how much money they put into a school district without having the state dictate it. We're into local control. But if we do have to have a cap, let's do it like Massachusetts, where they have 2% or CPI, whichever is higher. So if inflation goes up to 4%, which we hope it doesn't, how do you deal with that in New York State if it's permanent?
Right. I want to ask you a few other issues, too. The governor wants to move away again from the foundation aid commitment. How do you feel about that?
Right. So we still believe that the schools deserve that money, and the money should go into programs in school districts all over the state. So we believe it is still very important to fund schools at a higher rate, and also to have that money go into districts that are really hurting.
Yeah. So have you talked to lawmakers about this? Are they going to allow the foundation aid formula to sort of slip into history? Or
I don't think so. We had some very good conversations with senators the other day, and they support getting that money into the school districts. We're talking less than $4 billion now. So if you put that in over a period of years, say 3 years, you're talking just over $1 billion, and you take care of that lawsuit and all of the issues that went with it.
All right. So it's really two hurdles that you have to overcome here. One is the governor's feeling that, you know, he doesn't own foundation aid. Okay.
Right.
You know that. Okay. The other is that he's now concentrating more heavily on school by school equity rather than district by district equity. And for my listeners, district by district equity is owned by the state. Okay. School by school is owned by the school districts.
Right. And we believe that a locality has a school board and they should be making these decisions.
Interestingly, the school board feels the same way.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're all on the educational conference board together. Sometimes we agree with them. Sometimes we don't.
We're going to be talking about when you don't agree in a minute. But first, let's finish this conversation about school by school equity. Do you think that this is sort of a distraction from the inequity of state level aid distribution? I mean, that's what Billy Easton and some other activists are saying.
I think that there should be more money going into the schools, period. So get the money to the schools and let them divide it up into their individual school buildings as necessary. Sure, we should always have schools that are needier get more money, because that's what we're all about as a state, taking everyone and raising all boats.
Yeah, it just, you know, We had asked the governor about this several times. He would say ad nauseum, I think was the quote. But why aren't we more focused on just serving the needs of those who are the most needy? I mean, whether you call it foundation aid or you call it, you know, Bob, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Right. So let's say foundation aid or CFE, whatever it is, let's get that money to the schools.
Seems like the governor agrees with that idea.
Right. It's just that now his idea of having the state basically say where that money goes doesn't go with local control. The people who elect a school board in a particular town or a city, they want those people to look at education and get that money to the right schools.
And that would be, it would be easier to do that if there were was
if
more
there was
funding.
More money, okay. You wouldn't have
I'm
to
sensing
worry.
Sensing a theme.
That pie, it gets so big, you know, you cut it up, it's a little easier to distribute.
All right. I want to move on to teacher evaluations.
Okay.
Under a bill that you supported, there would be no requirement to link teacher evaluations to student test scores. Instead, it would make that optional by district, I believe.
Correct.
And subject to collective bargaining. Okay, so collective bargaining.
So was that where the school boards
that may be where the school boards are not with you? Because,
that's
well,
funny.
Listen, why do you say it's funny?
Well, because I think it's crucial that the union, the leaders, the teachers, the educators have a voice in how they're evaluated. It's fair. And I think it has been something that we have advocated probably close to a decade now for localities to be able to do this on their own.
Do you think the governor is going to sign this law?
Yes.
You seem pretty confident.
Yes. I believe that he has put it in his budget and he believes that this is a good thing for this state.
Neither the School Boards Association nor the Council for School Superintendents are particularly thrilled with this, as you well know. They say that, hey, evaluations should not be subject to collective bargaining, that school boards are like management and teachers are like employees, and management should have the ability to evaluate, you know, they should set the parameters for evaluation of their employees.
And they're entitled to their opinion, even if it's wrong. So what we do is we say, okay, we have local control. We have eliminated things in this with this bill, like the growth model. And, you know, there are things that are really aggravating parents around the state. And we stand with the parents. We're not even done with this bill. We believe,
what do you mean?
Well, the tests are too long, right? So they made it untimed. So you can have a kid suffering 8 hours to take a test now. Was that what this was all about? And are the benchmarks correct? there are so many things that we're still going to work on even after this bill is part of law. So this was taking evaluations, which became a mess, right? Unfair and caused a lot of
grief. This governor.
And yes, and we are going to make sure under this governor that that is fixed. So this is actually a good place for us. I believe the budget is done in maybe 6 weeks, and then we can take this dark cloud and we can throw it behind us.
All right. So after the budget is done, and you do, I mean, obviously there are things you want in the budget, like more money.
Correct.
But after the budget, during the next 3 months, what are your priorities?
Priorities are to get the testing, we call it the testing debacle, to be taken care of, to have SED really look at this and say, okay, you know, they used to be 3 days, now they're two. Do we even need two? Can we make the test shorter? Can we have folks who really know how to write tests and make them age appropriate writing the tests so that the parents, the educators are all on one page? Yes, this is a test that we can use to help students. It's not a gotcha moment to take a test. It should be something that they say, oh, we can use this, we can evaluate, we can assess on this, so we can better our teaching and learning.
Are you okay with the rest of the teacher evaluation plan that's being created by SED?
I think that we are looking at everything. There are so many things that can be looked at and fixed. So this bill takes us a long way, and we always wanted this bill last year towards the end of session, and we wanted it with no strings attached. So it is something that we're really looking forward to getting done and putting behind us.
So you seem like you're in a pretty good place right now.
I feel good. I feel good. I just hope that with the budget issues that are up before us, that legislators and the governor make sure that they take the needs of children, put those first. I know there are issues. We hear them. We hear them every year. I think every year we hear a big number of a deficit, of a problem. But yet, I have confidence that the leaders and the governor will be able to find a way to fund the schools.
Andy Pallotta is the president of the more than 600,000 member New York State United Teachers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.